As I say, holes in jacket pockets notwithstanding, and this week I have been suffering from a bit of brain fog, you know, which is when you can't think clearly. And it's just the tail end result of being a little bit poorly, just having a normal, bog-standard, old-fashioned cold. But it does mean that I keep making mistakes and getting things slightly wrong. On Thursday, on my day off, I drove Ed back to uni. He's been with us for about a month. He's had tonsillitis, and we think maybe he's even had glandular fever. He's been really quite poorly. But he just sort of wanted to head back for last week and a half. And we'd planned that we were going to stop off for some lunch on the way. And we'd agreed where that would be, and I merrily drove right past it. Fortunately, Ed being a 19-year-old boy, lad, man, is quite focused on food. And he spotted this error that I had made and pointed it out to me. So what I had to do was find somewhere to turn round and head back in the right direction. And in a sense, Ed was taking on the role of John the Baptist. We heard last week the first part of that reading from John chapter 3, that John the Baptist went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And repentance basically means to turn around, to stop heading in that direction and to head in the opposite direction. I was heading in the wrong direction, away from where I needed to be, and I needed to be told to turn around, to stop heading where I was going, and to turn back and look the other way and go the other way. So what does it mean that John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? Does that mean that all we need to do to be forgiven is to be baptized, to turn away from being a bad person? And that means we're saved, you know, job done. Well, the thing is that my turning around was very important, but it didn't actually feed me. When I was driving in the wrong direction, I was definitely heading away from food. But when I turned round, although I was going in the right direction for lunch, I was still dependent on the lovely staff members to prepare my food and to serve it for me. My decision to turn towards food still relied on the work of someone else to rescue me from starvation. Dramatic, I know, that's what it's about. You know. But you know, we all need food. And that actually is a great picture of what John was doing. John was getting people ready not to save themselves by repenting, but to be saved by Jesus and to turn round and to face towards God, ready for Jesus. We're told that he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But he announced that forgiveness didn't come from him or even from those who'd repented. Those are just signs of willingness to be saved. It's all part of the preparation. John sees himself as fulfilling the role that Isaiah had described as one preparing the way for the Lord. In fact, when people asked John if he was the chosen one of God, well, he denied it, flatly. We got a letter that told us we had a driving bus lane infringement penalty from when we'd gone into a bus lane in Leeds in November. The problem with this is that I don't think I've ever been to Leeds. And certainly we haven't been in November. But there was a little picture of a car that looked very similar to one of ours in Leeds, just going across the line. But actually it was a different colour. Ours is a dark grey car, and this was a little white car. But the number plate looked the same. However, when I looked closely, the last letter on the number plate on the picture is an E, whereas the last letter on our number plate is a C. So it's an almost identical number plate, just ours is a C and theirs is an E. I went on the government Check Your MOT website, and indeed, there is a quite legal, genuine car that is the same year, the same model, and same make as ours, with an identical number plate, apart from a tiny little line on the last letter of the number plate, and it's a different colour. So I have deluged Leeds Council with all the evidence that I've managed to get to say, it's not us. You're looking to the wrong person. You need to go and find someone else. And that's what John the Baptist does. He says, it's not me that you're looking for. If you think I'm the person you're looking for, you've got it wrong. He says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I can see how you've made the mistake, says John the Baptist. It's like looking at the car and seeing the last digit, the automatic number plate recognition system is kind of, you know, assumed it's us. But it's not. You've made a mistake. You're looking for the wrong person. You're looking at the wrong person, rather. Jesus is going to come with and baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. Makes water sound a little bit meager, doesn't it, compared? That's the real salvation deal that John is pointing to. And later, John identifies Jesus as the one that he's speaking about. The Saviour from God. In the same way that I sent all the information through to Leeds Council and went, this is the one you want to look for. This is the car. It's a white Hyundai, and pointed them in the right direction. John says the same about Jesus. This is the one that you need to be looking towards. John the Baptist was preparing people for Jesus, and he's actually preparing people still. See, this time of the year, at the forefront of a lot of people's thinking, especially children, is the naughty and the nice list, isn't it? You know, all children know that they've been naughty during the year. The question is, can you be good enough in the run-up to Christmas to outweigh your bad deeds, so that the big man will bring you presents on Christmas Eve? Well, John knows that with God, we can never be good enough. It's not about your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds. God is so good, so holy, so righteous, so just, that to be good enough to be in his presence, you would have to have no bad deeds listed against you at all, ever. You would basically have to be God all of the time. And we just can't do that because we're not God even any of the time. John knows that we need Jesus, the chosen one of God, to save us, because we cannot save ourselves. We need to want him to do that for us. We need to be prepared for him to do that for us. And that means to make a decision to turn away from a life heading away from God and instead to turn towards God so that we can receive God's grace and God's mercy. At this time of year, we spend so much time preparing for the perfect Christmas. You know, we steam the pudding, we bake the cake weeks beforehand, we order the turkey, we buy the presents, we stock up with wine and soft drinks and mince pies, we decorate the tree, we put the lights on and add a little sparkle. But are we really prepared? John calls us to prepare more than our homes and our fridges. He calls us to prepare our hearts and our minds. He said to the people that came to him, you've got to start living in a way that honours God, that is actually getting you ready for wanting to receive Jesus, for having a godly mindset, so that when Jesus comes, actually you're thinking like one of God's people. Don't just cast the casual glance at Jesus on the Christmas card images. But turn around, says John, focus on him, head back to God and be ready to receive from him the free gift of forgiveness, because you've declared your intention to turn your back on sin and receive God's gracious mercy. We cannot earn our salvation. We cannot ever be good enough. But also we cannot expect God to force his salvation on us. But John the Baptist invites us to turn back to God, to repent, ready to receive the forgiveness of sins that faith in Christ brings to all those who believe. Amen.